This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Good morning, everybody. It's March 27th. One of the reasons we're doing this early, few reasons, we actually do put this up on the radio show. For those of you listening to this later on, this will be one of the, it's a visual presentation. So if you go to our blog, thenorrisgroup.com/blog, you'll be able to find the video there or the YouTube channel. So there are some visuals today. If you're just listening, you might want to check that out. Also doing it a little earlier, hopefully you won't experience as much internet traffic. So that's one of the things we have to consider, but know that we are recording this on our side. And thank you for being here today. For those of you VIP subscribers and borrowers on the line, you'll be able to ask questions later on. We'll get to you. So with that, Pops, over to you.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for putting this together. Aaron's amazingly skillful at all of these technical things that I would have no idea about. It's obvious every day that we walk around in our life now that things are different. And sometimes that's concerning, and that's why I wanted to talk about what we're going through together and what our industry is going through and maybe the likely outcome. Yesterday I was in a drugstore, once again reminded that things were different. I had to go get something, and when I went in line, there was square X's on the floor 6 feet apart. When I got to pay, there was like a plastic sheet, a little hole for the person's face and hands to go through. And you just, every time you do something, you kind of get reminded, these are different times. Maybe we've never had a time like this in our lifetimes. And so what do we do? So first thing I want you to do is remember who we are collectively. After 9/11 happened, I had a really unique experience. I went to an Angel baseball game, and 45,000 people were there. National anthem always starts the game. Typically, 45,000 people stand, and the singer sings, and that's the end of that. Well, needing no prompting, 45,000 people stood and sang the national anthem, many with their hand over their heart. And it dawned on me, collectively, we get it. We don't have any differences today. We're just Americans. And that's the cool thing about America and Americans, is that we can show up with our best game when we need it. And we need it. And I expect that that's exactly what we'll do this time. There was an event in Boston, the Boston Marathon, and in 2013, there was two bombs that went off 12 seconds apart, killed three people, injured hundreds, and I'm sure that the natural reaction would be to think, well, next year there's going to be a remembrance of that, and a lot less people show up, and guess what? That is not what happened. Over 30% more people showed up, basically saying, you can kiss my butt. We're going to run anyway. And that's who we are. So that's who we are as a group. When you get discouraged, you have to remember who you are capable of being on your best day. Years ago, many of you know, I really respect Jim Rohn. He changed my life in 1981. I attended a seminar, went home that night. I wrote goals that were so far away from where I was in so many categories, but that's what you do. You write things that you're determined to be. I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to own a business. I wanted to speak in public without discomfort. And I wanted to be a black belt. And of all the things I wrote, that one seems the most remote. And I'm not sure exactly why, but that was too big. The next year, I was after all of those other goals, and I would attain all those, but I crossed out being a black belt. When my first wife died, Marcia, I was sort of casually training, and I got serious, and I trained twice a day for several years. And then one day I got asked to test for a black belt. And that same old fear came over me, like, wow, that's incongruent with the picture I have in my head of myself. And my sensei, Joey Pagliuzzo, who fought in the ring many times, a very brave young man, he knew I was having trouble with it, and he gave me a book called The Mind Gym. And I didn't have to read the whole book, because I read an important line. It said, when an athlete is afraid, they play small. And I really got irritated at myself, and I thought, you know what? On that night, the only thing I want to do is leave the karate dojo with pride, that I gave it everything I had. That's all I wanted to do. The way the test works is you have 2 hours of basically the hardest thing you'll ever do, and you're fighting multiple people that have very, very high skill. And there's your peers, people that have been there for years. Some of them have 8th-degree black belts, are watching you. And they're the ones that decide if they let you be one of them. And on my best night, they said yes. That's the best day I've ever had as an athlete. And let me tell you, you have that inside of you as well. So don't play small right now. Find the best you and bring it forth every day for the next several months so we can get through this. I listened to a guy on YouTube. It's called Valuetainment. He's got some great content, but one of the most important things that he said, that he has, is a business where he has over 1,000 employees, and he really hires a lot of immigrants, he said, because he finds they have a chip. They have something to prove. And I really could relate to that. In 2008, I was speaking in front of a group of about, 400 people. And there was somebody that came up, and he was really well-meaning. He really was. He's an employee of a very large company in a very high position. And he had entered the business of buying houses and all that. And at the end of our short conversation, he says, "I really feel sorry for you." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, because of the size of your competitors, there's no way your business is going to survive." And wow, that really ticked me off. And so I said, "Do you have a pen?" And on his business card that he had handed me, I wrote 951-780-5856, our phone number. And I said, "I'm going to give you back my car or your card." I said, "Call me in 5 years. I guarantee you I will pick up the phone." That was 12 years ago. We're still picking up the phone. In the last week, big buyers pulled out of the real estate market, not buying houses. Individual investors have not done that. In the last couple of days, some Wall Street lenders certainly changed their lending programs. We have not. Every year for the last 12 years, we've had an I Survive real estate event. It's scheduled for September 18th. On that night, we'll raise past the $1 million mark, and many people maybe would think, "Well, you're probably going to cancel that event this year." And no, we are not. We are going to continue to do what we did. And wherever that guy is, it told me my company wasn't going to make it. Thank you. You put a chip on my shoulder that day. And when I get down, and I can look at having employees in a setting where the business is uncertain and wonder, okay, what should I do? And then I remember, oh yeah, on my best day, I'm a black belt who doesn't give up, and I get up every time I'm knocked down. So find your chip and let's kick some booty. For those of you that are not familiar with anything we've done in the past, we've earned the right to say perhaps what's next in some settings. In 1997, we wrote a report called The California Comeback. The little mark is where we wrote it and then what happened. So we said prices would double in the next 8 years. Prices moved steadily up. We wrote The California Crash, saying the prices could go down by half. That happened. We wrote a report in around 2010, 2011, all interfold, talking about really taking a look at real estate and saying, would it ever come back? Because it had been flat on its back for about 3 or 4 years. We decided it was time to go all in. And the last one that's on the display is 2% mortgage rates, $40 trillion in debt. And unfortunately, the coronavirus has made probably both of them come true. The $40 trillion was a 10-year figure. And unfortunately, we're probably headed there. But all these reports have one thing in common. When I wrote the report, we were not where we were going. And it's important that you have some ability to look forward and say, what's the likely outcome? Because where we're headed is maybe very different than where we've been before. So we're about to go to a very dark place. When we get up in the morning, there'll be bad news, and it'll be increasingly bad news for the next 8 weeks. So it's wise and prudent to look at what's likely to be next. And the answer is really going to be different depending on the length of this virus. The damage path of the cycle is short, will be manageable, and we'll talk about how this relates to other cycles that I've been in. And the damage path will be much greater if the economic impact lasts a year or more, but I don't think it will. So what causes price damage to real estate? We have most of our history is in California. California, take a look at the chart. We have our cycles where we usually go gradually up and up and up, and then we have these times where we pause in the 80s and we sort of were semi-flat in the 81 to 84. And then we had a gradual decline, 90 to 96. And then we had this big upswing, and we had a crash after 2008. And now we're all the way back up again. But what caused these cycles is not what's in place right now. This reminds me a lot more of what happened in Grand Junction, Colorado. Grand Junction, Colorado was event driven. Oil shale was a big boom for the area. When it came, tons of construction happened to house the people that worked in oil shale. And then one day it closed. And so all of a sudden there were dominoes effect. It was sort of the same dominoes, but it was event driven, not affordability driven. So as soon as that event happened, there was massive unemployment. There was massive defaults. There was massive exiting of migration, and prices dropped like 80% on fourplexes. So this is the kind of situation that we're kind of looking at right now, is that we have an event-driven downturn possible. And so we got to take a look at and see what are the short-term impacts that we're about to face. We're going to face a lot of bad news. We're going to have terrible numbers of increasing virus contagion and deaths. That's a given. And as a priority, man, protect yourself and your family. Nothing economics is worth endangering your health. What's probably going to happen is you'll have a low volume of sales driven by concern and restricted movement. So literally that's a factor. You can't have open houses. You don't want to look at houses. So that's really in place right now. You'll probably have everybody's income get affected and some people completely disappear. So my friend Glenn, he's a travel agent, had literally 1,000 cancellations of cruises. He didn't do anything wrong. He just sitting there. So there's a lot of people that own restaurants and all the things that you think about. Okay, well, we got nothing to do tonight. Let's go out to eat. Well, no, you can't. Let's go watch a ball game on TV. Oh, no, you can't. Let's go to Maui, which I had just planned. Oh, I can't. So this is what's going on right now. So everybody's income is going to get affected somewhat. You're going to have people get laid off. You're going to have offices close. You're going to have unemployment soar. And it's going to be, evidence yesterday about the jobless claims were an unbelievable record number. And I'm sure we haven't seen the worst of that. Okay. And for the time being in real estate, you'll probably get lower comps because the only sellers will be the sellers that feel like, I got to hit the exit before something worse happens. And I think you have maybe lots of listings, and it could be interesting. People that aren't really that motivated could pull their listing and just say, you know what, we're going to pass. We'll wait. That could occur, but you have maybe the likelihood of a lot more listings showing up and some of those sellers being motivated. There are policies that are already beginning to be in place to mitigate the damage. And so what's being done is really important, okay? And some of this, we don't know how it all finishes. The document is still in play, but it's obvious that the government is going to be sending people money for maybe as long as 4 months. And it's not a little bit of money. If you're a married couple with two kids, it's $3,000 a month. That's, I think, $1,250. Yeah, $1,250 an adult.
That's not a one-time check?
No, it's four times.
Oh.
That's my understanding. Of course, it's maybe it's up for review or whatever, but it's my understanding that's for 4 months, not one time.
Yeah, it's in the House today, and it's going to get voted on. So yeah, you're right. It could change.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's what's been discussed. So you have Fannie and Freddie willing to waive payments. Bank of America said they would waive payments for a short period of time. Small businesses can get compensated for not laying off people and having, if their business is affected. And Aaron's kind of got a website.
Yeah, if you go on the norrisgroup.com under free resources, you'll see a Corona resource page specifically for real estate investors. And we're tracking the national and state response. So everything from the federal government also down to advice from places like the National Association of Realtors and then down to California, the California Apartment Association, the Association of Realtors here in California, trying to track sort of what they're doing legislatively as well, trying to push for, like Carr has been pushing for realtors, independent contractors to get paid, making sure you're up to date on what you can apply for as a realtor, things like that. So if I mentioned this in a lot of our videos, if you have something that I'm missing on there that you don't see, just email info@thenorrisgroup.com, a message to me, Aaron, and I'll make sure it gets up.
And also next week, Matt and Amanda Hahn are going to be here and talking about a little bit more in depth of what's being offered.
Correct. After we expect the bill to pass at least by Saturday, and that will give them a week to catch up and see what is being offered. And we want to be able to talk about the different categories that we'll go into later, what's going to be offered to them. So we plan to do this for our VIP subscribers and borrowers for the foreseeable future, Fridays at 8. Sometimes we'll have guest speakers. Karen Hall might be next. She's on the board of Retirement Industry Trust Association. And part of this package is that you can borrow from your retirement accounts and not face the penalties that you did before via a loan or just actually taking it out. And several rules have been waived. So as this weekend passes and we get more clarity on what it includes and then see how the state is responding as well, we'll keep covering it.
Yeah. And what's great about this is very aggressive. Obviously, this is an unprecedented amount of money. We're talking about not only the government doing this, but also the Fed is stepping in. They created a lot of liquidity in the mortgage industry, which was really important. Everybody was starting to refi, but there was a big clog. And so all of a sudden, interest rates went up from 3.5 to about 4.5. And the deals weren't being able to get done and funded. And the Fed stepped in and basically John Burns basically wrote me a short email. He said the Fed is going to own every mortgage in the country. So if that's what needs to be done in the short term, that is exactly what's being done. You also have a moratorium on foreclosures. So that's the big thing that will not be allowed to happen. If that were allowed to happen, first of all, how long does it take to foreclose? I mean, it takes a long time, not just a simple 4-month process in California anymore. And the lenders know that's not what they want to do. So they would mitigate the damage by waiving payments or tacking them on the end. In Florida, it's about a 4-year process. So there's no way foreclosure is going to enter the market in Florida for a long time. So I don't think that's going to be our problem. So if you have a market that's not filled with have to sell sellers, you'll probably have very low sales. And I would imagine prices will be basically stable. I think after 120 days, I think the market starts to return to normal and is normal by the year's end. That would be my guess. So each of us play a role in making this easier or harder, not only on the people that we deal with, but also on ourselves. There's times I've had lunch with one of my favorite investors, and I won't use his name because of what I'm about to say, but this is somebody that has, I don't know, 25 times a month more income than you probably need to live. And we spent the first 15 minutes, one lunch with him being really upset that somebody didn't pay him $1,200 of rent. And I eventually just looked across the table and I said, you know, you're having a feigned crisis. There's nothing in that $1,200 check that will affect your life. So right now, we can't afford to feign crisis. We actually have a crisis. We can make it better or worse by what we do. So here's some suggestions. If you're a landlord, the odds are you're going to get paid the rent. You may get paid less than full rent. And on rare occasion, a small percentage, you may not get paid. So what to do? there are resources. So help your tenants search out the resources that'll help them financially in the short run. And they may not know that. So don't assume that they know that that's available. Be patient. It's likely that you're a lot wealthier than they are, and you can take a hit a lot better than they can. So this is a spirit that we better have in the next 3 or 4 months. How about we treat someone else with the same kindness we would appreciate if we were in the same circumstance? They literally could be one step away from being homeless, and I'll bet you we're not. If you're a tenant, communicate honestly about your situation. And if you can pay the rent, pay the rent. I've heard stories about a people that was like 30 apartment renters, and they had a meeting. They decided collectively not to pay. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. So what do you do? What do you do? Come home to your kids and say, hey, we have an extra $1,500 we can blow this month. That'll be prideful money to spend. Sorry, I'm going to get on somebody's case for that. You know, you don't do that. That's not what you do. So if you can't pay, okay, take advantage of new policies and then pay the rent then. But also, how about we treat the owner with some respect too? Maybe they have a mortgage and their payment's not going to be waived. And one thing we have to realize is none of us have created this mess. This is event driven. So the more patience and the more honesty we can approach the situation, the better. If you're an investor borrower, pay your payments. You still have the benefit of owning the property. If it's a flip, no income was ever going to be derived from that until the very end. So make your payments. If your world turns upside down, and that's possible. So let's say your income stops. The flips you had in escrow fell out of escrow. The rents that you were supposed to get didn't happen. Communicate with the lender as soon as possible. Be honest and talk with them. Okay, we have a temporary problem. How can we work together? The lender will have respect for your approach about being proactive and upfront. If you do it any other way, you won't be met with a willing participant and partner. And that's kind of what we almost have to have people do. So lenders are an important part of your business going forward as well. So treat everyone with respect and be honest. Okay. If you can pay the payment, do it. If you're a lender, there's a really high likelihood you're going to get paid as usual. In the event you don't get paid, first find out why. Then go to solution mode and help solve the problem. And this may include taking unpaid interest and tacking it on the back end. But you know what? It's probably something that you can afford as well. So be patient in this situation. The borrower didn't create the mess. And if we get through it together, we get through it a lot easier. So are there opportunities? There are some. Some people will be motivated to sell. It doesn't mean they're desperate, but I don't know if you've been where you would prefer to have more liquidity. That can definitely occur. Somebody owns 10 houses and thinks, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice one, sell it and liquidate and protect the other 9. That's a very sensible decision. And so that may be who calls you on your mailers or your signs. So we're still in business doing what we do. The small buyer, the local expert, will be the one who provides the seller with the speed and liquidity they need. So get a chip on your shoulder. Let's kick some booty right now. I'm trying to be nice. Okay. The big picture is hard to be accurate right now. Okay. So I think looking at what's happened in China, there's a cycle that they've gone through, and they've come out the other end with much less volume of new people being sick. Italy's, you know, just about at the peak or across the peak. So we see what occurs over the next 90 days. We're about at the front end of that. We're about to go through a tough time. But we can look at the model and say, okay, once that's passed, we're on the other side of this. So I didn't really want to go talk about what happens if this lasts a year, because I don't think it will. And if I do, we'll create another video, because that'll be a game-changing event, and it'll cause a lot more damage. But I see the reaction of the Fed and the government, and I just think they get it.
This is just the first round as well.
That's right. That's right. This is the first round of, okay, let's do this.
They're already talking about the next package.
Yeah. And you know what? it's smart because this is no one's fault. And you do realize how close people are to having one event impact their entire life. They don't have, you know, many of us who have been in this industry for a long time, we do have liquidity or we do have no debt. So we have a comfort level, but you can realize that, you know, you just bought your house, you have a down payment that you've put down, you basically have a couple months of reserves, and now you don't have a job for no fault of your own, and it's not going to be returning. And, you know, I think the real key is to figure out, you know, what's interesting about Florida's model is used to closing a lot of stuff, but they have a lot of people come seasonally.
Yeah,
that's not unusual for them. They get hyper busy and then they get dormant. Mm-hmm. So in a way, this is just happening early for them. They're almost used to this kind of cycle. So I hadn't really thought about that until just last night. I thought, wow, Florida probably handles this better because they're used to, I don't know what percentage of the population shows up seasonally, but it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So they just went home early. There's this gap. And by the time it's time to come back again, I think it'll probably be pretty much business as usual at that point.
Having come back last Saturday, you know, talking to the realtors that were there, the as people were leaving for the season, the people were writing a lot of offers, oddly. So I don't know if they're going back to the East Coast or wherever they get the majority of the visitors from, sort of rethinking their urban existence. So it'll be very interesting to see in the next couple months if that came through fruition. Quality of life and the cost structure is just so different down there.
I think you make a really good point when you have like a New York City,
yeah,
where you have millions of people stacked on vertically with, you know, hard to not have contact with people.
Oh, right? Yeah. In a big city, it's just
like
impossible.
Your stores. I mean, you're going to neighborhood stores. That's all there is on the sidewalk. You know, it's just in the sidewalk filled with people. I have a feeling that there'll be states that get a lot more migration and people finally just say, you know what, that's not what I want anymore.
Yeah.
And Florida is a big recipient of New Jersey and New York's migration out.
Mm-hmm.
And that could definitely increase.
People can start sending in questions if you'd like. I'll start taking those and we'll answer them. There's not really a time limit on these. There's sort of special shows just for our network. When it comes to resources for your tenant, I post this at the very bottom. You really need to if you're a landlord, pay very close attention because the governor basically has given the authority to the local counties to make some decisions, local municipalities and counties, on eviction code. So there's not a lot of clarity. Everyone's like, if you've been affected by the coronavirus, but there's no clarity on how you document something like that. So unfortunately, if you've got rentals all over California, you need to be paying very close attention at the local level, but also pay close attention to the resources. So what the national and state is doing is one thing, but you might be able to point your tenant to things like, I know here in Riverside, there is a nonprofit that's putting together a fund where they want to be able to give families $500, just a check, just a grant. So if you're at home, just pay attention. You might be able to find your tenants some resources that they might not know exist. First question from Rick. I'm doing a 1031 exchange. He's in Florida thinking about he's about to pull the permits. Would it be beneficial to wait a few months before those get started? Or if it were you, would you just go ahead and proceed on new construction right now?
I would proceed, and I am proceeding on a fair amount of deals right now myself that are under construction. Definitely had conversations with, there's two builders that we're involved with. They are being considered a necessary business. It may get to a point where they have to go into hiding mode for a time, and that's just fine. And you know what? The 1031 exchange they will have to deal with that fact and have extending your time.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, so if you miss your 1031 exchange date because nobody could show up to your job site for 45 days, you are not going to get penalized for that. So I am not concerned. We're even speccing houses, so you know, we have projects that are approaching permit status, but they will be ready, you know, completed in close to October, which is exactly when I want them to be done, and that, you know, I've spent a lot of time. If you know me, you know I calculate the most likely outcome pretty carefully. And so I've calculated that's probably a very wise thing to have inventory available when people come back, because I think they're going to make decisions to stay. And I think maybe there'll be other people that don't build and sit there in the corner and don't do anything. And I think that's a mistake. So I'm not trying to be careless, man. That's not who I am. I'm very calculating.
Question, all these packages cost a lot of money. Is it going to result in more taxes? Any thought on where this $2.2 trillion is going to land?
Oh, and it's more. Yeah, it'll be more than that. It's going to land on the budget. The budget is going to go and soar. We have completely low interest rates. So, yeah, maybe it's going to grow by $4 trillion. The deficit grow by $4 trillion in 12 months. I don't know if it's this calendar year, but certainly in a 12-month period, you'll have a big absence of income taxes coming in because the revenue is low and you'll have the big expenditure. So, I don't know that I'm smart enough to answer at what point when we get to 40 trillion, is that the day we go, okay, we can't pay it back, or is it 80 trillion? I don't know the answer to that because.
Does the government refinance at negative interest rates?
Yeah, there you go. Just like I kind of did that tongue in cheek with the panel. I said, hypothetically, if you had $10 trillion in debt and you could get minus 2% for 50 years, at the end of 50 years, it would just pay itself off.
And everybody's mind is blown, yeah. Sarah asked, my tenant is Section 8 with 100% rent paid by the government in Alabama. Do you foresee government stopping Section 8 for any reason?
No. As a matter of fact, you'd think that they would be putting that on steroids. So no, you probably have the safest of all tenant is a non-participant, but getting the rent paid. No, that's probably safe.
Dave was asking about 1031 exchanges. Dave, on that resources page on our website, I link to the IRS page where they typically track disasters. And the National Association of Realtors has been advocating for this. It's on their list of things that they're asking for. We expect that and opportunity zones as well to be extended. But we're doing a lot of 1031 exchanges, and we're behaving like nothing's changed for now. But yeah, we expect that to get updated, but just no word just yet.
Yeah, and I actually talked to my buddy Alex, and he said construction is still going and doing normal.
Yeah, the National Association of Home Builders is advocating that construction continue to move forward, meeting with the economic development, one of the departments in Florida. That's one of their main economic engines. And so they are going to do whatever possible to keep the building department permits open and inspections going. So it's a priority for them. And it was actually really good to go to Florida and get that perspective. I think most cities are going to be saying that. Jeff, could you say again where the list of resources are for landlords? Yes, at thenorrisgroup.com/resources, or if you just go to our website, there's a tab called free resources. It's the very first option on the dropdown. There's no extension approved. Yes, correct. Are you still lending, and how has it changed?
Yes, we are lending, and I don't think it's changed.
No, we're asking you to be a little bit more flexible on timelines. If it's a Barstow condo, no thank you. But that's never really changed. So it makes sense lending right now. The long-term program is still viable. We're doing a few of those now, but they need to be good deals. And you've got to be in a good position. We're selling you. So help us out. What do you think the next real estate downturn will be given? I don't know why this isn't showing, given the current pandemic. Does it really change your forecast all that much?
No, I don't. Because now if you had a government that had no response, and in 4 months you had a ton of foreclosures because people missed their first payment or they got evicted, yeah, then this could be a big deal in 3 or 4 months. But everyone's doing what they need to do. They're going to get, if you're a family of four, you're going to get $3,500 a month. You can pay your rent. I think they're mitigating it as much as they can. The worst thing we can do is overreact. And so that's why I kind of broke down all the pieces. If you can perform on your rent, do it. If you can perform on your loan payment, do it. If you're on the opposite side of those transactions, be patient if there's really a reason, you know? And there can be reasons, and you just have to go, hey, this is one of those times where you think about all those Americans standing up and singing the national anthem. We got to think about that part for the next 3 or 4 months, not to get taken advantage of, but also not to harm people needlessly. There's no point in that.
Drew has a question about sort of a crystal ball when it comes to prices over the next 12 months. And you know what? I think I want to ask it, if you don't mind, Drew, a different way. Different price categories. You know, the talking, having the conversation about will the Inland Empire do better because people maybe rethink the price point? Maybe people get a little bit more conservative. Will the $1 million plus go from, you know, in Orange County from several, you know, 8 months of inventory? And if jumbo lending disappears, will we have, you know, 3 years? It's just a, I think it can be so different depending on area.
Well, interesting. Okay, we're probably going to have an environment once the Fed starts buying all the mortgage paper and you have a little bit of the clog, you should end up, right now our spread is way too high. The 10-year T-bill is at 0.7. You should have no more than a 2% spread to a 30-year mortgage. That's 2.7. You give this market a 2.7 mortgage rate, some very interesting dynamics are going to happen. First of all, you're going to refi 80% of the loans in the country. Mm. And all of a sudden, people are going to decide, I'm just going to stay there.
Forever.
Well, but think about the ramifications of that. And that's why we didn't really think about putting it on the program. But one of the things that we had talked about, I mean, if you're in the lending business, you're probably going to be so busy in the next 6 months. And then what are you going to do after that? Since half of your business is usually refis, that's over. So if half of your volume is gone permanently for a long time, that could be an issue. So I think we have to think outside the box. And right now it seems to be that we're in the mood to do that. So I'll suggest it. We should have a nothing down purchase loan program. And we should make that loan completely a simple assumption going forward. Somebody else can take it over if they bring it current. A foreclosure process that's a national process. It's not one, every state has a choice. It's one foreclosure process. You don't make the payment 6 months after you miss. A sale is held. The opening bid is your late payments plus the fees. So on a 250 grand loan, your opening bid is $8,000. $8,000 and you take over a 2.75% fixed rate loan for 30 years. How's that going to go back to the bank? There is no way.
No, I think we need to get on the horn and start talking to more people about that because now would be a good time.
Well, it does two really important things. It gives the group that feels they're disconnected, they don't have a part in the success and going forward, they have a chance to own. 10% of them are going to fail. That's just the way it is. You're going to have 10% failure rate. They'll go to the trustee sale. They can get bought by other owner occupants that don't have to qualify. They just have to have the money of $8,000 or an investor. If there's an overbid, you know, I guess it can go to the former owner. You know, that's no penalty to that. They get some money. They can do the same thing over and over again. But you'll have maybe 5 to 8% more families own. And that's a big deal at the end of the, you know, at the end of this is that if we could do that. And the big problem with nothing down the way we've ever done it before is it gets foreclosed on and that glut causes price damage. If you take that away, this is a really smart thing. It also lowers your cost. I mean, you have a 2.75 mortgage in Florida at a $230,000 new house. It's $450 less than rent. It's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Just because it's mentally stuck on, oh my God, that's going to cause. No, it's not. Use your head. It's not. It's going to give a lot of people a chance to own. And that at the end of their life is a big deal. They'll pay that thing off. They'll be secure. We have to go there. We have to really get, and it'll give lenders something to do and builders something to do. So think about the industries about to stop. Okay, gosh, you know what? I think I'll just stay here. See, it's not a listing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to refi. It's not a loan. I'm not going to buy another one. That's not a loan.
Home Depot doesn't get to do the typical sell the stuff when people move in. It's a lot of impact.
That's right. So, okay, let's think about that. Let's give people a chance to own something. 90% of them are going to pull it off. And the 10% that don't is going to go forward and somebody else will take over the financing. So it's not going to create losses. If we're thinking outside of the box, we have maybe a 12-month period to have a 30-year impact on our country.
I'm thinking of the homelessness population,
That's
too.
That's exactly right.
So if you have a Housing First program to where you get somebody off the streets and you give them some excitement, you're already surrounding them with services. And then at the end of a year, if they can prove where the government's already spending money, a lot of
That's
money
right.
on housing and services, and they have the chance of ownership if they can follow some guidelines, It's such a cool idea.
Well, we're talking about affordable housing, but the problem with that is always a subsidy.
Correct.
And I mean, LA gave it a shot with a couple of $1 billion, and the average cost was 560 grand.
530 to be exact.
Okay, 530. But if it's a 2 3/4,
yeah.
Oh, that's affordable housing. In other words, maybe it doesn't have to be subsidized. The subsidy is in the interest rate payment.
Yeah.
And it's there. We need to take advantage of that. This is a big deal.
Can you send a few emails, please?
Hey, let's do it. Let's get it in front of the right people.
All right, back to some questions. Lenders, jumbo. Will jumbo loans be a priority? Like right now, I guess jumbo loans aren't being refinanced, says Rebecca. So,
will they be a priority? I don't understand
Do you think we'll get back to jumbo loans in California?
Are we out of the business of
loans? The refi jumbo loans are just a lot of stuff has stopped.
Okay. Well, it's because of the liquidity in the mortgage market, and they are working that out. And like John Burns Tech said to me earlier today, the Fed is going to be buying all of those mortgages. I mean, that's the lender of last resort, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they know that they have to have liquidity. You can't have people just not be able to get a loan. That's a little frightening, right?
Yeah.
So we've already had that. You know, we've had people with refis and the lenders backed out. It's because they don't want to get stuck with the paper. So anyway, I think that's going to get solved. And I know it's been a problem. It's been a problem. You have some REITs, like mortgage REITs, that have gone down like 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a big deal.
Vicky's asking a question about refinancing on a rental. And Vicky, I'm having the same issue. I'm actually in a refi. I built a property all cash in Florida, working on the lender, and I didn't lock in my rate. And I could have got 4.5%. They finally came back, and I'm going to end up getting 4.25%, even though it should be lower than that. Sorry, 4.75%. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
But he's so busy. Lenders across the board have raised their rates because they just don't know what to do, and they're trying to slow down volume. So that'll probably get fixed in the next couple months. But yeah, same experience. Maybe just wait if you can. All commercial lending currently suspended for 30 to 180 days, says Paul at the moment.
Ouch.
Yeah. Property owners with Fannie Freddie loans were just provided some federal protection. Do you know if this is extended to property owners with loans held by portfolio lenders? So what's interesting, you've got the federal response. So
right.
Fannie Freddie, FHA loans have a different process. Banks in California has signed on with Newsom to provide some level of support, but I haven't gone into each of the individual lenders. Yes, a lot of them have participated, but they're not forced to.
Correct.
They're just being a good partner. So there's a lot of confusion there. And you literally have to go to every bank, wherever your loan is, and see what their process and profile is. I don't know if you're having to document, you know, need or whatever it is, but you're going to have to dig down to the company itself.
I'm about to say in some ways more than I know, and this is not my expertise, but I know there's part of the problem is there's a servicer that gets involved in the middle of that, and their requirements are that they have a payment to make to the lender, whether they get paid or not. And their servicing fees also, they have to, I think they pay a point to be the servicer of the loan, but they're only able to charge a third of a point a year. So they have 3 years to break even basically. And now then make money. Well, when you get interest rates that are really low, you could have somebody refi a mortgage only been in place for a year and they literally lost money on the servicing.
Yeah.
And so there's a problem there. So, you know, there's only so many problems you can deal with in one day, but I have a feeling somewhere along the line, they'll be looking at that going, okay, we're going to enact a policy, an emergency policy for the next 12 months. And here's what it is.
Yeah. Keep in mind, none of these servicers or lenders are prepared for the volume that they're getting. The federal government isn't prepared and their sites are crashing. So we're just going to have to be a little bit patient. One of the questions is, will we get relief for our non-QM loans? So stuff that's not standard. My response would be maybe, maybe not. But keep in mind, if you're a small business and you can document that you've been impacted, consider looking at the SBA resources because they may end up doing some forgiveness on the other side. So maybe get creative. Don't just get stuck thinking about the loan side. Look at the SBA stuff. We'll cover this more next week when we have Matt and Amanda on the call, but you might end up getting some resources somewhere else that would help with that. Should all commercial lending applications stop originating and processing? So should commercial lenders just
I don't know the answer to that. It's not something we do, so I don't know. So they don't have a market right now.
We are seeing jumbo loans canceling at funding, lenders writing 7 to 8 figure calls due to the drastic drop in rates, but all B paper bank statement has left market. How do you see this part of the mortgage market coming back quickly? So the more creative stuff. Yeah, we've already heard some of the Wall Street lenders overnight just stop funding, laid off half their staff. What's interesting is it's going to be dependent on how people are structured. So if you've got on the other side the government willing to buy all kinds of paper, are they really going to buy all kinds of paper?
I think if they're going to buy corporate bonds to create liquidity, the answer probably is yes. So they realize that they have to put their finger in the stike. And so I think they're going to buy all kinds of paper, but whether they're doing it today or not, maybe it's a progression of them adding something as well.
Maria brings up a really good point, and I have a call with a local city who's asked me to be on a call about ideas of some of the local things that they want to implement to help. And the question is, now that I want to foreclose, but if lenders cannot foreclose, what incentive is there for borrowers to pay anything, i.e. the group who decides not to pay together? So my suggestion to this specific city is going to be, you need to be very careful at the local level. If you've got builders and lenders looking at you, seeing the kind of policies you employ and that their typical process you've absconded with, and there's not clarity and a sense of fairness, you could be singled out. They just won't lend there
anymore.
Right. So as to her question, I don't know if it's a little up in the air. A lot of this is new. It's sort of subject to availability. And as things progress, this might last 2 months. It might last 4. So federal and state, just something that we're going to have to follow. I don't know what incentives and if the government's going to require, I don't even know how they're going to operationally track all this stuff.
Well, you know, this is where leaders come in to play, and you would think that somebody like a governor of a state would come out and say, it's time to be honorable with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, hey, you don't have to pay your rent.
Yeah. Steve brings up a point that I thought his understanding was that it was a 1200 per adult and then 500 per kids, but there's a limit on,
on
income.
Yeah. So if you make 150 grand, that's the max. If you go past that, there's a deduction on what you get.
Right.
And then after a certain amount, it's zero. So it's 75 for a single person, 150 for a married, 105 or something for head of household.
And I thought it was just 1 month.
It's my understanding it's 4.
Okay. And I don't know if that got moved to the next package they're doing, and this is sort of immediate, and it might be. So, Steve, good point. We're going to cover it next week when everything is signed and there's a little bit more clarity if anything changes. Currently, the Fed buying is increasing the problem with the margin calls. It's not really a question. I think that's a statement.
Okay.
Let's see. Gurus and mentors advising to cut all non-essential expenses, but not marketing. This is advice for investors rehabbing. Uh-huh. It's a long question. I'm trying not to spend too much time on this, John, but marketing. Good question. So we've just been told that you've got your Wall Street competitors off the market. So for those of us that are local who are playing the SEO game, it might get a little easier. And if you're paying for ads, so search engine marketing stuff, your rates should go down. So hopefully it will get a little less expensive, which would be good. So I don't disagree if that's your game. Obviously, you're probably not going to be door knocking right now. People aren't going to answer the door and it's inappropriate. But yeah, I mean, if this is your game and you're out there buying houses, this is the time that local shines. I'm excited for Main Street. Because even down to the appraiser, I posted something on Facebook yesterday. There was an appraiser that we worked with at San Jose who had to cancel. He's in quarantine and his mom died of the coronavirus.
Mm.
And it's just when you get that local impact. But what I want right now as a lender is I want that local expertise. I don't want a middleman like an AMC. I want the guy that's been in that neighborhood and knows street by street what's up. So I just think this is such a unique opportunity for the local experts to shine Main Street. Wall Street's already true to fashion, show their color. They're about scale.
See you later.
See you later. Yeah. Greener pastures, or it'll be interesting to see if they come back. I really don't know. I was talking about this with a few people on LinkedIn. Possibly, but just depends on who's funding them in the background. They haven't been making money this entire time. Is that sustainable? And will the federal government look at that and be like, yeah, that's a speculation. You guys are cute. We're looking, our priority is food, shelter, and utilities for the consumer. So good luck. I don't know. What is your company planning to do with borrowers if they can't make their interest payments? Steve.
Well, it's really not a company decision, but we'll be in the middle of that. So I would talk to whoever borrowed the money, and I would find out if, in fact, it's an attempt not to make a payment they can make, or if, in fact, something's happened where that becomes not possible. If that's true, that it's not possible, then I will make a call to the lender, and we'll have a discussion. Because I'm a big fan right now of cooperation and honesty. And if I find either one missing when I think it's absolutely expected, the black belt side of me will come out.
Well, it's a very short, it's very short-sighted.
It is. You know, that's the thing. This is when we find out who people are, by the way. When you have everything going well, you really don't know. Mike Cantu and I had lunch one time. It was 2009 or 10. And he made a comment. He said, it's really been surprising to me how many people's character has changed. And I said, Mike, it hasn't changed. It just got revealed for the first time. Mm. So that's what happens right now, is people's character is revealed. But we all have really good memories when we learn that lesson.
Any advice on investing or waiting in the Bay Area for now?
You know, the Bay Area is, to me, just a very unique thing. It's almost like asking how you feel about New York, and then you're talking about Manhattan. So it's just a different world. Obviously, if you look at a chart, their prices are off the charts. They're literally 200% of the price at the peak in 2007, and no other place has done that. And so it's so easy to look at that and say, well, gosh, they're so overpriced. And yet your job base is so ridiculously well paid. It's like Manhattan. So it's very unique. I almost would have to think. I don't know what to think. I would just be cautious. Don't take big risks. You know, that's just, I wouldn't want to be specking that you're going to have a big price increase or something. That right now, in the next 4 months, it's just really about let's get to July, August, with most of our chips in place and our sanity and our life.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. For the rent protection, does that apply to public storage companies? That's an interesting question. I haven't seen anything on that, but that's an SBA thing. That's a small business loan, I would be assuming. So definitely check out those SBA resources to what they have available. I think there's going to be two different routes for help. We have rentals in four different states. Can you give us some tips about finding local sources of assistance?
Yes.
Okay. Go to the state governor's office first. Find out what they're doing at the state level. From there, go to the county departments and find out what the county is doing. And then go down to the local level, so the city level. So some, you've got unincorporated county areas and cities, and then you've got, you know, cities like Riverside is in the county of Riverside. So you're just going to have to do a little digging of how they're structured. But 211 is a really great resource. So it's a nationwide. I happen to be the board chair of the one in Riverside. So put in 211 and then whatever city that you're in, you'll find they're typically count. They serve by county. And go on their website and just start doing some digging. Probably most at this point are going to be the 911 backup. They are the backup for 911 in cases of emergency, to take non-emergency calls off of 911. So they'll probably have updated resources for you and the tenants. You might find some gold in each of those areas. So hopefully that helps you. What level of interest are you seeing your investors, lenders have in funding buying your hard money loans? John, I sent one out on Monday and it had 4 deep. So I didn't have a problem selling it at all. Obviously, it's going to depend on the area, the house. Again, no condos in Barstow for now. How does this affect private lending, in particular opportunity to go into the private lending space? I don't know if it affects anything, but
you know, it's we've had excess money,
yeah,
for a long time. So I don't know that's going to change. Everybody's in a little shock mode right now.
Yeah.
So you definitely would have the same feeling if, you know, you're just kind of concerned. And I think everybody's waiting to see. I mean, the first will be an interesting thing. So a lot of us have automated payments on loans, mm-hmm. and we have automated rents where that happens, you know, like, so in Leesburg, I mean, I called, you know, the guy that manages the property, and I just said, what's your take? And he said, well, almost 100% of your tenants are nurses.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be out of a job. I said, okay. But the other way is that it's when people pay, I know right away by Anna's website, as you have, mm-hmm. You know, you look there as well for yours. So I think that's going to be really interesting. I think by the 10th of next month, we'll have a pretty good idea if it's going to be business as usual, as far as collecting rents and collecting payments. If there's, oh, wow, that's unusual, that's a first time, then you know what? And this is how we saved our bacon in 2008, is that we noticed an unusual activity. So somebody that had been with us for 10 years, never late, is 30 days late on a payment. I called them just because it wasn't like getting on their case. I knew it was unusual. So you'd already proven to me you're a good lender or borrower, but this is unusual. So my first question was, are you still pursuing a profit on this property? And at that point, almost 100% going, man, no, I'm just trying to get you paid off. Okay, well, that's a great conversation then, because we can cut to the chase on that and mitigate the damage and get to end it before it gets worse. When you're going down 3% a month, let's don't go, well, let's wait a year and see what happens. No, let's don't do that.
Yeah, let's get out.
Yeah. Mm. So I think and everybody's built differently. You know, there's people that are built to react appropriately. There's people that overreact. And I suppose if we have a big pool, we'll have some of all of those types. But like Aaron said, put a loan out, we had a lot of response. We don't think that will we don't think there'll be a disconnect between the need of money and the be able to supply it. And part of it is people trust our process.
Yeah.
So that's already in place. People know we go through and only present them things that we would loan our own money on.
Yeah. And you know, we have ways that we qualify people. They'll have to have a lot of cash on hand, especially on the flip side. And then if they're refinancing rentals at this point, there's a lot of equity in it. So, you know, one of the things I had a conversation with all my property managers, I don't manage a lot of my stuff anymore, but you know, one of them was just like, if they don't pay the rent, I don't get paid. And so it's not just your tenant. It might be your property managers that are a little bit in distress. You need to ask the question and you need to think about, I asked one of them, I'm like, well, is it okay for you to dip in reserves for now? And I can replenish it later if that came. I'm like, I want to make sure you get paid. I want to support you. And I think it was appreciated. And, you know, I want them to do well too right now.
Well, you also want them to exist.
And I also want to be a priority.
That's right. No, see, that's exactly right. That's a very good thing you just brought up is, you know, I got called yesterday by Peter Apostolos.
Yeah.
And I mean, the call was about this. He says, I just want you to know that all the loans I have with you are my priority bills. I would not be where I'm at without you for the last 12 years. So I just want you to know that's not going to be an issue. Well, that was a great phone call.
Yeah.
You know, that's, yeah. So you just found out a lot about Peter.
Yeah. This is in a video I did a couple of weeks ago, just my 9/11 experience. I was like, expect to see the worst, but expect to also see the most amazing things. And you don't forget the amazing. That's you
right.
Just don't.
Well, you don't forget the other either, unfortunately. But I think you're right. I think just like at that baseball game in Angel Stadium, I expect much more of that than anything else.
Is it a good time to prepare to invest in out of state? So yeah, we've been working with investors over the last, you know, year, helping them. Thank God I got rid of my dogs in California. I already know that if I still had some of the stuff that I owned, I would be dealing with non-payment and then an eviction. So I wouldn't be making, I'd be making loan payments and no income on that one particular property for a good year, probably. So what's your thoughts on investing out of state at this point? Are you sort of,
you know, I can't say anything about 48 other states. You know, we're in Florida for a calculated reason, migration. So Florida is the number one state for natural, is it immigration? Natural, inside the country, number one.
For net domestic and number two for immigration.
Number two for immigration.
Yeah.
And those are not going to change. They're going to get stronger. We just did kind of a calculation. You may have seen it already, that what's changed in California, there's a 60-year period that I got to look at. And I never really thought about doing it before, but I divided into half, 30 years apiece. And in between 1960 and 1990, 52% of California's growth came from immigration, which is really important because immigration is an adult. There's an adult in the mix. There's either a single adult, there's a married couple, or there's a family, and they're ready to do something connected to real estate. They're going to rent something or buy something. In the last 30 years, 10.5% of California's population gain has come from migration or a combination of migration and immigration, and 89.5% birth over death. That means a huge percentage of your growth in the last 30 years are people born. 83% of them are under 25. They can't afford to buy a California piece of real estate. On the other side of the spectrum, in Florida, 85%, dividing that chart again in half, 85% between 60 and 90, 85% of people showing up to Florida were migrating there. In between 1990 and 2020, it was 85%. They did not change. The people that show up to Florida are adults ready to do something, and the numbers are growing and the percentages are growing too. So in the next decade, I think California will have absolutely no net migration from adults. That's a very big deal. And Florida will probably get into the 90% of their growth being migration of adults. So that's just, that's why I'm in Florida. That's the domino that I want is in place. Migration creates all of the other things.
Yep. Okay. I've been tracking all that data for the last couple of years too, since we've been out there. So I'm really interested to see the real estate data for the next 3 months. This is typically when their season starts to slow down anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll see. If you're a flipper in B and C class houses, how do you think this will affect business?
You know, I think the whole market is just kind of going to freeze. You're not going to have people looking at homes. You know, you can't hold open houses because there's multiple people there, or it's harder to do that. So I would expect the next 90 days to be like you hit the pause button. I just would expect that. But after that, I think things will return to normal pretty quickly. Got to remember, we're really fortunate. We came into this with a 50-year low in unemployment as a nation. We came here with California having what everyone's saying is a lack of inventory. So we could have come in. What if we had already in a recession and unemployment was 8% and then this happened? That would be a different game. So we're coming off great charts into a time frame where you're going to end up with a 3 or 4 month, like the most ugly charts ever. But we're not Grand Junction, Colorado, and an industry is left for years. That restaurant, how many restaurants won't open again? Well, there'll be some. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to eat out somewhere. They're going to eat out somewhere else. And so that person will be busier. So there'll be this pause button, and then I think we'll want to get back to normal. I mean, it doesn't it dawn on you, like once a while you go, I can't. You know, that's what's going on right now. Well, when we can, I think we will.
Rebecca asked a question. She's in a 1031 exchange and they're down to the last contingency and she's worried about the appraisal. And Rebecca, I'll just tell you my scenario. I'm in something very similar. I challenged an appraisal that came in low in Florida and it had a $41,000 increase. I did a really good job on my documentation. So far, the lender looks, they just locked my rate this week and it looks like they're going to move forward with the current appraisal. I know what you're asking. Go to the Appraisal Institute. They've got some guidelines for I think I actually posted it on our resource page as well. As a real estate investor, getting into the mind of the appraisal industry right now, looking at market value, and them having to look at things like reasons and motivations for people selling, things like that. So I think it'll help. But if you can get through this process, the sooner the better. The appraisal should stick, at least mine has so far, but hopefully that helps. But if you're worried about it, go to the Appraisal Institute and see what they're saying. From the glasses half full side, if someone is well capitalized right now, this is crazy and unprecedented time we find ourselves in. Is this the perfect opportunity and time? Question mark. Drew wants to know.
I'm assuming you're only connecting that comment to real estate. So I don't think it's a bad time to get into something. I don't know how big of discounts there's going to be. I think there'll be some people that want liquidity other than the real estate they have. That would make perfect sense. I've sat in that seat myself where you have 12 and you'd like one of those turned into cash to make your whole life a little bit more comfortable. That's why we're here. We're just like the CarMax. The guys that drive their car up is to sell CarMax are not destitute. They want simple. They want to leave with a check. And that's people do that with houses. Obviously, Wall Street's found out that actually works. But they're gone.
Well, here's the other rub. There's I don't know if it's instituted, but there's a pause on there's a 90-day seasoning requirement on flips as part of this bill. I'm pretty sure that is going to apply to the Wall Street iBuying model. Their goal is to get in and out of that as soon as possible. They might not like that. So we'll see. The last questions, we'll end on this. Just so you know, we'll do this again next Friday with Matt and Amanda. We'll take more questions. We're trying not to beat you up. Everybody's getting notifications of webinars and stuff. And this is replacing our typical newsletter that we would do right about now because we're really focused on that resource page for you guys and then these resources every week. So just once a week, we just ask for your time. Florida, people are asking about areas in Florida to invest. And one was about supply being constructed. Kevin, I think it's going to depend on whether it's a public builder or a private builder. For us, you know, one of the questions that we work with our builders on are you sourcing material from China? Is there going to be a disruption in your supply chain? And they don't. I think they have one lighting fixture that actually ends up getting imported from China. But those are the things that you have to start thinking about. And I don't know the public builders, where they're sourcing their stuff and if they're well capitalized and how they're feeling about this. So I don't know about that side, but I know our side. And as far as areas, there's lots of different places in Florida, you know, Orlando, Tampa, we're in Southwest Florida. I think it just really depends on what you're looking for and getting out there. And
yeah, I think all of Florida, first of all, I don't know it specifically enough. I've been investing in Orlando and Tampa with Alex for years, but I don't know that area. I just have had money floating around there. We flipped about 80 properties 3 or 4 years ago in Tampa and Orlando. So, you know, I'm a little bit more familiar with during that time, we got a lot more involved in Florida and then we're building, you know, we probably have 80 houses that are going on or completed at this certain time right now. We chose the area that we chose because of the charts telling us that was very high up in the migration and quality of life, desirability to retire. So that was why we ended up where we ended up.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody it's been a full room the entire time. So I really appreciate everybody hanging out so early on a Friday. So please enjoy your stay, stay healthy. We'll get this up on the podcast and on YouTube and all the other spots. And again, it's thenorrisgroup.com/resources for that real estate page if you need it. And we'll talk next week.
Okay. Thank you guys.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE license 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.